Protect their identity?
And we're back here on In Focus News Radio KMAN, speaking with President Richard Myers, Kansas State University. And I kind of want to get in a little bit to talk about the flooding situation here. You know, it's kind of it's going to be the talk of the town for a while as the lake levels remain high. And I was kind of interested to see I called into the flood hotline and spoke to the K-State news director. You know, they informed me, and funnily enough, they recognized my voice. And that maybe that's a bad thing now. People are starting to recognize me. I mean, visually, it's kind of hard to miss me. I understand that. But so I was wondering what the K-State role has been in all of that.
Well, our emergency management coordinator, Michael Bear, has been involved in everything the county and the city is planning and doing, all the meetings. He handles potential requests for K-State resources to help. So they've looked at that. I mean, one example is what do we do with horses and pets? Where do we and so we've looked at options for that. Of course, we're also concerned about K-State students or faculty and staff that might be impacted. So we've looked at what we can do there. What are the leave policies if you've got a house that's been flooded? All those sorts of details. Try to work that ahead of time so we can tell people right away, yeah, you can take a week, whatever it is. You can take this time and work your particular problem. And then you probably talked to one of our folks from communications and marketing because we help man the 24/7 operations center that provides the public information. And so they've been doing that now for some time, answering the hotline, writing communications and news releases and that sort of stuff.
I don't know if that's audible in there, Dave.
I can pick up that.
Okay. I don't know what that is. That is not the fan. It's off.
Uh-huh.
So anyhow. Yeah. So you were mentioning shelters. I know a previous college I went to, we would shelter horses. We were in ag school there in Los Angeles County. And so would you be taking in certain horses or other animals in the event that it's necessary?
I think in the case of an emergency, that's one of the things they're looking at and planning for. I don't know that we have a definitive answer because we haven't been asked yet. I mean, the emergency hasn't hit us yet. But yes, that's certainly one of the potentials. And pets, too. Another big issue is pets. So people might be able to relocate somewhere else, but what are you going to do with your pet? Maybe pet can't go with you. So we're looking at options there. And there are some viable options that we can
– Were there a number of professors or instructors or staff members who – do you know any numbers possibly on who would be affected?
I think it's – the last I saw, nothing – I didn't see anything about faculty members, but must be some. But there are certainly – there's a handful of students. Like it was below 20 is the number I saw that might be impacted. Now, who knows if that was a perfect survey or perfect information. So it's not thousands. It's not hundreds. It looks like it's a lot less than that. But obviously there are a lot of students that rent or live in that part of town down there by the Big Blue. So or where the Big Blue might move to. So
yeah, it's very – yeah. We'll be keeping an eye on that as that progresses, of course. And we were talking a little bit about shelters, and that kind of – I guess can dovetail into the discussion about animal or the KSU Vet Med program, and they're recently beginning to work more with T. Russell Wright's Animal Shelter here, helping out with their treatment of. I guess they're going to be out there doing sort of emergency treatment as well as checkups and all sorts of things, helping out there and sort of improving some of the quality of care there at the T. Russell Wright's Animal Shelter.
Well, that's one thing about our College of Veterinary Medicine. If you're a student there, if you're faculty there. You wouldn't be there if you didn't love animals. And so I think they look for every opportunity to help, and helping in the local community makes a lot of sense. You know, thanks to a donor, we also have this mobile trailer that goes around the state and helps neuter pets at shelters and so forth, and it's pro bono sort of, and it helps the students with their clinical skills, and it helps the communities as well. So that's part of being a land-grant university. It's around teaching, research, and service. There's always this element of service that we think about, and that would fall into that category.
Yeah, and we feature VetMed here at least every month, I believe, if I'm remembering our scheduling correctly. And I can just imagine having that hands-on experience is probably just invaluable, especially for such an in-depth and technical field.
Yeah, in fact, they've changed the curriculum here recently to give our incoming students more clinical experiences earlier in their time through through the college. So that was, we were getting feedback that, hey, you graduate some folks that are really technically very competent, but some of them don't have the technical skills that we can put them to work right away. I think that was the complaint we heard as we go out on listening sessions around the state. So the interim dean, Bonnie Rush, has corrected that. And by the way, we'll have an announcement here very shortly about a new dean of veterinary medicine.
Oh.
And I'm not going to announce it on the radio because I'm not the one that's announcing that, but our provost is going to do it. And it should be any time now.
Okay. No worries. We'll keep an eye out for that as well.
Yeah, it's a big deal, and I don't think people will know the name. So.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye out. And I guess that can also sort of segue over to a discussion, kind of a wrap-up of the semester. With all the other discussions going on and all the other – there's so much movement going on at the university. I've had to push this off till now in the discussion.
Right.
We're almost like halfway through the interview. And how's your thoughts been on how the whole year has wrapped up? We had you at the beginning of the semester, so now it's kind of a good time to bookend it.
Well, first of all, a lot of great things as the semester wrapped up. Graduation, 3,250 graduates. That's awesome. and we know we get 96% placement from all our surveys. So 96% of them 6 months from now are either going to have a job or be in higher education. That's the best mark in the state for that.
That's high.
It's high. 70% will stay in Kansas or the Kansas City metro area. That's another important metric, I think, for us as a land-grant institution. The problem is we graduate 3,250. We've got to bring in 3,250 or more new students. And that's one of the things we're dealing with is our enrollment decline as the population in Kansas of high school graduating seniors, those that want to go on to higher education, that pool has declined. Not the number of graduates, but the pool that want to go on to higher education. And that's happened over the last 4 or 5 years. In fact, it's down 14%, I think, over the last 6 or 7 years of those going on to higher education. That's our market. We have the largest market share in Kansas in terms of attracting high school seniors that graduate. And so we've got to find a replacement for that, either transfers or out of state. So that's a process we're involved in right now, putting resources toward that. So fall of 2020, not this current fall, but fall of 2020, we hope to see an uptick in our enrollment and gain back those approximately 2,000 students that over time that we lost here in the last several years.
Do you have a rough approximation of what your yearly onboarding, I guess you could say, for students is, undergraduate students?
Oh, it's around the same number as that graduate.
Okay.
So if you talk about
– close to 3,500.
Yeah. So if you talk about undergraduates and fresh, right out of high school transfers, either from community colleges or other universities – when you talk about graduate students and so forth, it's 3,300. One of the big deals that hurt us was international students, and they're down across the country.
Yeah.
So we're not the only one being impacted by that. But when I first came here, we had about 2,200 international students. Right now it's around 1,600. It's an area we think we can grow, and we can also grow in graduate students. Our new provost, Chuck Tabor, Dr. Tabor came to us as the dean of the graduate school from Stony Brook University on Long Island, and he's taken a hard look at our graduate programs here, and he thinks we can definitely grow. We have some great scholarship, and that's one of the things we're going to be working on here going forward.
And, President Myers, question as far as your international student base. When it comes to attracting them, what methodology are you utilizing? And then what's a cost figure? Because is it similar to what out-of-state tuition would be for them to attend Kansas State?
Yeah, in most cases, it's full out-of-state tuition, which is 2.0 times our in-state tuition. So most of them, if they're undergraduates, pay that full tuition. And we use different methodologies. We have people in China, for instance, that actually try to find us students that we pay to do that. We have a lot of other relationships with different countries where we've traditionally gotten students from. So we use a variety of methodologies trying to keep our international student body up. You know, for an educational experience, it helps to have different perspectives. And there's nothing better in this global world than to have folks. I think we have folks from 100 different countries, to have them in the classroom with you and exchanging ideas and different cultural norms and so forth. So when we graduate somebody from here, they're world ready. They're ready to go out and go anywhere they need to go to be a productive citizen of not only Kansas but of this world we live in. And so we think it's really important they have that experience. It's the same reason we're trying to encourage more and more folks and make more opportunities available to study abroad for at least a semester to become more aware of other cultures and other ways of looking at things.
In hindsight, I really had wish I had taken advantage of some of that as well, to going abroad. It probably would have been a great experience.
Would have been a terrific experience, absolutely.
And we mentioned a little bit of the international recruitment. Is there any shifts in how, domestic recruitment is? Maybe not necessarily in Kansas, but I guess across the country. Is there any shift in how you're approaching that as a result?
Yeah, since fewer Kansas high school graduates are going on to higher education in the state of Kansas, we're actually looking at out-of-state. So we've traditionally been around 80% in-state, 20% out-of-state. Kansas University is a benchmark there. They're a lot more out-of-state. They're 60% in-state, 40% out-of-state. They've always been that way. And we want to increase we're down below 20% out-of-state right now. We want to increase that by several percentage points. We think there are markets out there and that we're a great value for a lot of folks in our surrounding states and places we mentioned earlier, California, Illinois, and so forth. So we're ramping up our out-of-state efforts, doing more targeted marketing, with a message that is more appropriate, we think, for the out-of-state market. And, we hope to grow that number, that percentage, by a couple of percentage points.
And you got me thinking, back to an older story I had seen about an agreement by the Board of Regents agreed to be able to reduce tuitions for at some out-of-state students for specific states. You mentioned California, Arkansas, Colorado, and Texas are also on that list. I think there might be one or two other on there too. Of course, there are some academic requirements, have a 3.25 GPA, or you could score on an SAT or SAT pretty well. But I understand what's leading to some of that specific targeting of states? What are these states to bring, I guess, or students from these states bring that you're hoping to draw in?
So I think you're right. There is what they call a Midwest Student Compact, which offered 1.5 times our tuition, so not the typical 2.0 for those in the Midwest Compact. We got the Board of Regents to expand that to include states that were not previously in it, like Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, Colorado, California. And it was for specific curriculum, and we've expanded that to any curriculum. So if you're and the rest of the states are Nebraska and Iowa and on it goes over to Illinois, mainly in the upper Midwest area, Missouri. All those states now, all students, any curriculum, 1.5 in-state tuition. We think that'll be very attractive to them. We think this is a great experience. If we can get a prospective student on campus, there's a really high probability they're going to stay. They're going to like the atmosphere. They're going to like what we have to offer here in Manhattan, what we have to offer at Kansas State as a community. And they get that community feeling, and a lot of them love that. And so we're hoping to attract students in all disciplines. We're not trying to focus on one particular discipline. I gave I have this golf cart that Eric Stone Street gave the president's office, and I was taking a student from one of the campus to the other the other day, and I said, well, where are you from? He says, I'm from California. I said, you're going to Nichols Hall. What are you going to do at Nichols Hall? He says, well, I'm enrolled in theater. And here was a young freshman from California enrolled in theater at Kansas State University. And so there are all sorts of folks that want to come here and take advantage of these wonderful programs that we have. But, our success will in many cases rise and fall on the quality of our faculty. And we've got great faculty, and there are story after story of how they've personally helped students find their way through their educational experience here, and I mean, sometimes loan them money, all sorts of things to keep them engaged. It's kind of a lot about our land grant heritage and the importance of access to education and making sure when we get somebody here, we can make them successful.
I think it's time for our next break. We'll be back shortly here on News Radio KMAN with President Richard Meyer. You're listening to In Focus.